For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's
right. Welcome back to part two with Dean Clark. We pick up this episode when Dino moves from Long Bay to Bathurst Jail.
As I went on, they started transferring again and they fucked me off from the Bay because obviously they were playing games with me. And I went to Bathurst. That is where it was a real eye-opener for me, in Bathurst Jail, when I went there. I went up there.
Fuck, those bottom 2 yards where you come into a reception fucking yard, you've got the Segre yards just on the other side of it. And that little fucking, it goes into like a baseball, looks like a baseball complex, doesn't it?
That's it, up there in the C wing, C1, 2 and 3, 4 on that. Well, I was in C1, 2, I used, that's the yard I went into. But I got there pretty late at night and everyone was in lock-in. Like, I think up there at Bathurst, they lock in at fucking 2:30.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
I went in there, mate, and it was a fucking, I was like, you do see shit on the movies. I was like, here we fucking go. This is the real deal. Everyone had their little fucking, you know how you get your little plastic spoon and you break
put
it in the
mirror,
mirror and you strap it to it and everyone's got the fucking little mirror out the peephole looking at who's coming in here and fucking this. Well, when I went to the truck, I went with 4 young Aussie blokes. And when I got off the truck, like we got off the truck, went with 4 young Aussie blokes and that. Obviously, there's a lot of the brothers out at Bathurst, right? And it's pretty hectic. Those fucking blokes getting stamped left, right and centre. We all got put into the cells. I got put into with a lifer, and he was going to Lithgow. He'd been moving to Lithgow, and he gave me the heads up. He's like, look, mate, I got talking. I got on with him real well, you know. He's like, look, mate, I'll give you the heads up. There's a bloke out in the yard, right, older crim. He loves froths on young blokes like you. And he wasn't G-ing me up, this cunt, because there actually was a bloke out there. He's like, what he will do to you? He will come up, yeah, and say, hey, bro, how are you? He'll get you under his wing, and you'll start to get this false
sense of this is all right, this guy's good.
I'm in a hectic jail. I've got some hectic bloke looking after me. So this is what would happen. He goes, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go out in the yard. He's going to come up to you. You and the other young blokes, whatever. He's going to try and take you under his wing. A week or two will go on. You get close to him. You think, how good is this? You'll go in the cell. You'll go, let's move into the cell. Or you will start buying shit together on the bike to have cook-ups. Next thing he's got you in the cell. Next thing he's going to try and scotch you.
Yeah.
In my head, I thought, fuck that. I'd rather get carried out of here in a body bag than let that fucking happen to me with this cunt.
Yeah.
So I got let go the next day. I was the only, two of us were the only that didn't bail. The rest bailed. They were gone. They couldn't handle it. So I got a little bit of, they gave me a little bit of respect for that, you know?
It really is. Bathurst is a fucking backward jail coming forward. I went on a truck from Grafton. I got tipped for assault and a screw, and I went to Segro at Grafton and then ended up fucking Silverwater and then straight out of Silverwater, straight down to Bathurst. And,
yeah,
mate. That was where I ended up finishing my last 9 months. And I hated Bathurst. It was putrid. It was fucking cold. It was ugly. There was every day someone's getting pumped. And,
yeah,
you know, like, it's full on. It is full on. It is. I've seen something on a particular Facebook page today about, you know, Australian prisons and that Bathurst is one of the toughest maximum security. There's no two ways about the jails. Each jail's got its hardness. There's no two ways about it. I don't care which jail you go to. Every jail has its own little fucking black corner. But Bathurst, man, you never knew where you stood.
No.
You always were ready to arm up and go on with it.
It was a different fucking world out there, and I felt so far away from everything being out in Bathurst. So, like, I even seen, like, blokes that used to spin me out. Like, I used to see them at buy-up. When you go to get your buy-up, that's the day when cunts are going to stamp you. They're going to try and come and stand out. I used to watch blokes go sick in cells, so one of them would stay in the cell, and the other one would fucking go out, get the buy-up, run back to the side of the wing, and what I was watching them do, they'd get the string from the doonas,
the
they'd
tie it into a pillowcase, through the window.
Let it down the side of the wing, throw all their buy-up in and fucking pull it up so they couldn't get
through. Straight up locked into the cell.
Yeah, and then stay in there and fucking, I don't know what, I got left alone there. I don't know because I was so young and I just didn't give a fuck. I just went out there and held me own, mate. I've had it in my head. I've done it pretty rock at Bathurst because when I went there, when my cellie moved, I stayed in my cell by myself. I had no TV. I didn't even have a pillow, mate. I had nothing there, brother. All I had to do was think. You know, I'd write letters, and I wrote a letter to myself. I was like, you know what? Fuck this. Fuck this life. That was the turning point for me in Bathurst. Even though I still had time to go before I got out, that was a turning point for me. I thought, you know what? Look what's up this side of the door is a fucking jungle. I'm 19 years old. If I can go through this, I can go through anything in fucking life. Yeah. This is a young fella's worst nightmare. I get so many young kids come up to me and say, what's it like in jail? What's it this? You know, what happened in here? What happened in there? I lived and breathed it. I was there. I was in the jungle. I seen blokes get chopped. I seen fucking blokes get pillowcases put on their head and bashed, and then took the pillowcase off his head. He had no idea who hit him. Fucking things like that. Cunts getting hit with tuna cans in socks. It was not just that jar at the bay. I've seen this shit. I just got, I think your mind adapts to stuff. Your mind, you'd be surprised what your body gets adapted to. And I wrote a letter to myself in that cell because I had nothing. Like I said, I didn't even have a fucking pillow in there. And you know how cold it gets at Bathurst. I had nothing freezing.
Mate, those walls are that old and fucking thick cement, brick, and just fucking layers of peeling paint from fucking 50 years old. Like, it is ugly. They're small, the yellowy, browny-coloured walls. Everything is just fucking wrong about it.
But it's a different world. Like, the shit that you see there as well, like, stuff that baffled me as well in jail, like, when I was at the bay, and you had that bloke spoil their water, they rip the dinner tray, or my silly at the bay one.
Blow the whole wing out for fucking power, because someone's trying to deal.
And then your next telly's fucking blowing up, and the screw's telling them who it was, and it's on the next day.
Oh, you fucking give me up, you cunt.
And then one night, my silly, he was getting the nurse come around at 7 o'clock, was giving him his pills, and he obviously wanted to fucking dilute it and sell it in the yard, you know?
Yeah.
They go, that's it, fuck it. He was drinking it out of corridor, and they said, nah, put it in water. He goes, I'm not fucking putting it in water. So they go, that's it, shut that cell's fucking power off. He goes, don't worry, bro, let him shut it off. They shut it off. He goes, get on his shoulders. So I jumped up on his shoulders, and fucking he took the light out, the fluorescent light.
And then he sparked it up.
Fucking he sparked it up. We're kicking back watching TV in there. They think they got us. Fucking we're kicking back watching TV. Or even I seen these blokes, no word of a lie, take two legs off the side of a cockroach and tie a cigarette to it, and the cockroach, because it only had the two legs, bounced on the wall and went from one cell and could only hit the wall and walked under the door to the next, and he took his ciggy off.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I swear to God, mate. I haven't seen that one.
I've seen plenty of fishing, mate, but I haven't seen a cockroach go out, mate.
The cockroach, he took the two legs off one side, and it could only fucking lean, it hit, bounce off one wall, and it fucking went from one cell straight into the other.
I'll just let everyone know. So for fishing, what we're talking about is you run a line. So back, you get a knife, a butter knife or something, you'll tie your fucking cotton off your bed sheets or your actual sheet, you just strip down or whatever you can get, your socks, whatever the fuck you can get to make a line. And you try and make it as long as you can. And if you like your bungers or you want this or you want that, you throw a line, and someone else has got the other line, and they'll have a fork, or they'll have whatever they can to catch it. Next minute, you're slowly fishing each other's line back in, and believe it or not, you can get the amount of things you can pull and send under a door that's locked or through a window is phenomenal. Yeah.
That's when you say the new blokes come in, we'll take you fishing on that,
mate.
We'll pay the old chicks on and sign the sorry book, boys.
The sorry book, put a bluey in, you'll go home.
But going back to with Bathurst, that was my changing point, ACMO. That's where I thought, if I can go through this, I can go for anything. And years to come when I got out, that's what I always went back to that. Because after that, after Bathurst, and I went through all them Maxo jails, I had to do the Young Offenders Program, which was 18 to 25-year-olds, which was just as full-on as any other joint, because it's all young blokes trying to fucking prove themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of older blokes, and they'd go, you get less drama in a normal. They ain't the best joint to do your times in a life as jail, where they're all just kicking back. But in a young offenders, you've got a lot of testosterone. Every cunt's training, everyone's fighting. So I went through all the young offenders program, and when I was coming into the WAP, they give you the Oberon, right? That's a young offenders sort of prison out farm thing. And you got to do a 4-month program to give you your C3 to come down to do your work release and that.
That's right.
So, So I went to Oberon, and I actually don't think it's that bad of a thing for young fellas to do, because it was a lot different to normal jail. Like, you lived in a unit with all the boys together. Yeah, we had a lot of laughs up there. We were fucking, like, you terrorising other blokes. And it was you always had a good laugh in there. But they had this thing where they used to bring, like, a survival bloke in, and they'd take you on camps out in the bush where you had to survive, sort of thing. They'd give you a little bit of a tarp to tie between two fucking trees, and you had to cook your own food. And I'm not lying to you, Simo, there was three camps you had to do. The first one was a bit easy. The second one was mind-blowing. They took you out in the bush for 3 days with blokes from your intake, it's called, so you can have 20 blokes in your intake. You know what it's like, mate. You go through jail and there's politics inside that wall where this cunt hates this cunt, that cunt hates this cunt. The change that I seen when we went out here, so it's called Motivator. They put you up this fucking mountain with big backpacks on, big fucking boots.
I know of. Yeah, it's a very military-style program,
Yeah, and then they
the whole idea is to break you down and rebuild you from everybody being on equal.
Definitely, mate, and it fucking worked. What I seen, it worked.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm pretty sure they've got a pretty good success rate of young fellas ain't going back to jail after this thing. I don't know if they do it anymore. But they had this bloke out there where he wasn't a screw. He was like a survival bloke. And you sort of respected him, you know. He wasn't like a dirty screw in there locking you up. And you had a bit of a bond. And at Oberon, you got each wing has got a nuke. So a nuke's
nuke, that's bloke. Right, the adult. Someone that's done a big whack or someone respected that comes in
so
there.
Someone that's done fucking 20 years for murder and he's at the back end of his thing. And he's given us, you know, you got that much respect for the bloke. He's trying to lead you in the right way, and they actually fucking do, the old fellas. Not old fellas, the boys that have done big whacks, they actually do care about you out there.
Yeah, that's right.
We only ever got one bloke out there that had done fucking 6 months, and he ended up getting tied up because we were like, fucking, is this cunt telling us what to do, you know what I mean? He's fucking been in here for 6 months trying to pass us down. The boys ended up tying him up with fucking garbage bags.
Hog tied.
Yeah, like it was funny out there. But this camp we went on to, right? So blokes, like, you know, sometimes you get races that were blue and that. And we went out there and you just kick off. They bring you to this mountain on the second day, and we had it. There was a little creek at the bottom of this mountain. They had the screws and that. So screws will go over, but then you got the survival blokes there as well. I don't know what that's, whatever they're called. They let us go for a little swim and that. We'll spin it out, and they used to give us a little camera that we could buy up and let us take photos out there of all the boys together around the campfire.
Is that food and that together. Can I just ask, because I've not, you know, they didn't have young offenders, well, they did, Park Lee, but it was only kicking off when I was 18. Actually, it wasn't. It was after. But is that how you boys always got your fucking photos? Because I'm always seeing all these memories and all the crews and that. I'm thinking, where the fuck are the lads getting all your photography done? Like, I know that we used to get photos on Vizos or, you know, occasionally you'd have the activities buy up, come around and do. You could pay for a photo with your mates once a month or something. But
yeah, exactly right. So that's at the gym, our gym sweeper or some up at Oberon. He'd come out every now and again or whatever, and they'd do it on the visit or there. But when you actually go on this camp, when you're in the bush, they actually gave you bought a little camera. You know, like you used to roll and click it, and it'd give you like there's 20 photos left or 19 left.
Disposable.
They actually give it. Yeah, disposable, and they actually give us all one of them each. So you're out there. And she's taking photos around the thing on that. But when you get to this mountain, right, we all started cramping up because we swam before. We were fucking freezing cold, so our legs were cramping up. But this fucking mountain, you're on your hands and knees crawling at the start. You've got backpacks on, you got big boots, and then they start getting in your fucking face. Think about your victim, you fucking weak cunts. Get up. What about your mum? Get up. Fucking look at you. You aren't that fucking tough. Now have a fucking go. Get up. And you're trying to, and it starts breaking you down. So you start getting up this mountain, you can't see the top, you're still going. And I no word of a lie, I think boys that had drama in there that were dropping, were going back to pick the other bloke up that hated each other. Picking them up, come on, that's brother, good. I'm not leaving you here. I'm taking you with us, we're all getting it through together. One would drop, oh, just leave me, boys, I'm fucked, I'm a weak cunt. No, you're with us, everyone help him, let's go. You know, blokes that I've seen have fucking three stinks inside were fucking carrying each other up arm by arm at the end, and then they're still in your face, fucking, what do you think about your mum, what do you think she's fucking been through, think about your family, think about who you've left them behind, think about all the money that they're putting in your account, and you're going to lay here like a fucking weekend, get up. So then you get to the top of the mountain,
it's powerful.
And then everyone, Yeah, everyone's just hugging each other and that, and how good was that? And it's a bond that you'll have forever. So that I think every young bloke should do. And at the front of the jail there, they've got a ropes course, which is like you've got you go up at it's hard to explain. There's like big rope course things that you got to go across, and it's the other boys holding you underneath. So you got to earn a bit of trust with them. Otherwise, they just fucking let you go and you just drop down and hit the fucking.
Yeah.
But that happened once. But they, it's hard to explain, mate. Like it's something that brings you together. I don't think it's bad for even kids to do that haven't been to jail. You know what I mean? That thing that was just, it was such a, there should be more of it. For kids that have offended.
I look at you and I look at who you are today, and I know a lot of what's changed in your life, and I really want to start to head that way, because I think it's important that we try and capture as much positivity out of, you know, the tough and the hardship. And, you know, for you personally, fuck, man, you've come out all guns blazing. Firstly, you come out, you had a bit of beef on you, you were cruising. You dropped all this weight. You got your mind in the right place. You got your heart in the right place. You got yourself fit. And I'm a big believer in, you know, healthy mind and healthy body. Like, I don't care what anyone says. I'm a big bloke. But I know when I'm training and I'm feeling good, things are okay. And I start to see things clearly. You took that straight away. You just come out with this. The transformation within you was visibly just mind-blowing. I loved it. I loved watching it. It inspired me. I've told you that before. You know, we always talk about how much respect we have for each other. But you might be a lot younger, but your actions, you know, really carry a lot of weight. And not only has it changed for you, but you've changed so many of the young brothers in your community's mindset. The brothers, your you know, bra boy brothers that you've picked back up that were down. You really have become a leader within your community. You're back into your surfing. You're giving back. Mate, you're a fucking dad. You've got the most gorgeous little lady. You know, like, life's good.
Yeah,
you know, and I want to really touch on that, because, you know, the clink is so much about what we've talked about, because without that story to begin with, there is no story of redemption. It's as simple as that. And your story is quite impacting and very fucking... very confronting. But I think this story of redemption of Dean Clark is even better.
Yeah.
Dino, you get out of jail, brother. Let's talk about it.
So when I got out, it wasn't easy. It wasn't rosy, right? So I got out and I knew that life was behind me. I done my parole squeaky clean. I never got in trouble. When I first got out, I enjoyed it. I surfed a bit. Then I went back to work. And I really... really wanted that life behind me. I knew, fuck that, I ain't going back there. I ain't going back to that shit. But what happened is I started getting out and I wanted to go for jobs. And by this time, there's police checks all the time. I couldn't get on anywhere, mate. Like I said before, my old man wanted to get me on to the boats up, you know, like, and the boys on the boats are all knock around blokes. But I couldn't get, they said he's a walk-up start on him, but I couldn't get onto the ships because of the police checks. So I got
The wharfs?
No, wharfs. They go out for like 6 months. Oh, not 6 months, 6 weeks on, come back for 6 weeks at home, or then they go out for 4 weeks. They're like, actually out on the ships.
Like a merchant seaman.
Yeah, exactly right. And then I couldn't get onto that, so then I wanted to get on the... got me truck license. I want to get a fuel tankers and that. And I think, well, they knocked me back. I needed my dangerous goods. They wanted to have go through me police checks. I got knocked back for that. I just kept getting knocked back. And I was just like, but what I keep putting myself back to, I was like, if I can go through all that shit back in Bathurst and all that I've seen all back in them days, this is nothing. What is this? This is easy. I can get through this shit. This is easy life.
Yeah.
So, but I just kept going and going and going. And it's not easy when people don't want to give you a second chance when you get out of jail. They do not want to give you a second chance. But I finished my parole, and 2 weeks after my parole, I wanted to travel. I wanted to go overseas and I wanted to see places. Because like I say, I seen the fucking all around New South Wales out of a prison truck when my mates went and traveled. I never got to do any of that. So I finally could go to Bali, and I wanted to go to Bali and surf. But 2 weeks off, I was sitting down the beach, and then... next thing, all these cop cars come back down the beach, detectives, fucking paddy wagons, and I'm sitting down there with my mate, Jake, and there's a few of us there at Barbie Hill. We have barbecues and that, and you look at the surf. But this day, we're just sitting there watching the waves, and next thing, all these coppers come, and I just had this eerie feeling. I was like, what is going on here? You know, what is going, like, it just doesn't feel right. Why are they all here? And I could feel them looking at me. And anyway, my mate Jake said, oh, if they fucking try and get you for anything, I'll run the ball up and say it. I was like, nah, don't worry about it, brother. Fuck that. I haven't done anything.
You genuinely knew in your heart you haven't committed any crimes.
No, I didn't, mate. No. I didn't, Simo. I didn't. And like I say, everything I've ever done, I have done.
Yeah, you put your hand up. That's the man you are, mate. There's no bullshit.
Yeah, and so then they come down and they grab me. They, you come up here, mate. And I'm like, the detectives have got me. I'm like, what's going on? They go, mate, you get in the back of the paddy wagon. We're arresting you. I said, for what? They go, well, you're swinging a pole, trying to hijack cars, and all what? These pathetic little intimidating people, and all this. Took me to the police station. I think they gave me bail to piss me off more to the fact that I had to report 5 days a week and that. Like, I couldn't.
Let me slow this down. You're out. You finished your parole.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting at the beach.
Yep.
You've been arrested again on allegations of violent crimes, we'll call it.
Yep.
You've just said striking piles, whatever that involves, but it's violent crime.
Yep.
They've now got you again, and you're reporting 5 days a week.
Yeah, 5 days a week, mate.
So you're legitimately trying to fucking make a difference in your life. I can relate to this. I won't go into it because this is your story, but,
yeah.
Mate, this is too common.
Yeah, so like I say, but people at the time, they don't give you that benefit of the doubt. They probably think, look at this cunt. He's just got out of a nick. He's out of jail. He caused trouble. He probably did do it, but I fucking didn't do it. You know what I mean? I didn't do it. The people that were close to me, I told them, they believed my word. I said, I didn't do this. Like, I was down the beach looking at the surf. I wasn't fucking trying to hijack cars and all this.
Yeah.
But what I instantly went to my head is, my life just come crashing down again. Everything that I just worked for, to go on holidays for a month or two, to get my life back to where it was, I was happy, I was surfing, life was good, everything was behind me. Like that saying, you do the time, you do the crime, you do the time, is the biggest fucking load of shit I've ever heard. It doesn't stop there, mate.
Never let you go.
And what it was, these coppers were the same coppers that I'd grown up with my whole life against. They once got me back because it was making them burn that I was doing so good. Because I was doing so good, they hated that. But this is what drove me more. I'm like, well, if they fucking want to play this, I'm going to make them burn and I'm going to do even better. I'm not going to get pissed. They can come down. They can search me. They can do whatever they have to constantly keep doing. I've got nothing on me. I'm just going to keep doing good, and making them burn. So I went to court, and not only, like, I lost everything. Because I had the report, I lost my holidays. I lost all that shit. I went back to court, and people think, like, I sat in there and I'm going through everything. Like, you know, you've got to go for your mention, your fucking sentence, and everything I'm paying lawyers for. So the money's just coming out of me, you know, out of me old man's pocket, because he's the one that always fucking bails me out. So I get to the court and they say, no case. The case is thrown out. And people's eyes, they think, how good's that? Yeah, that's good that there's no case, but I've just fucking lost everything again. I've lost me fucking life. I've lost me holidays. I lost me job at the time. I lost everything that I could have had. I've lost. So I thought to myself, you know what? Fuck that. I ain't letting it get me down, because I'm a big believer. If you've got excuses in front of you, you're not going to get anywhere in life.
No.
If you've got a little excuse, oh, I can't do this. This is too hard. Which, don't get me wrong, I understand why a lot of blokes go back to jail, because society doesn't allow for them out here. They give them nothing. Like I say, a criminal getting out of jail, he could be probably the best fucking worker on that site if they give him a go. The best worker, the best bloke, a genuine heart. There's some fucking good boys in jail.
This is the hardest thing. And, you know, even for myself, you know, come out, you got 6 years, a federal offender, drug importer and violent crime past, no one wants to give you a go. And you see, and this is the true thing, everybody. I mean, I spent tens of thousands of dollars on tickets that were pointless. Yeah. I got knocked back from the mines because I was overweight. I couldn't get a ticket to go to fucking this place because I couldn't produce a clean police record. I couldn't work in a certain mine because I had to have a police clearance. I couldn't drive for this company because I had to have a police clearance. But you know what? I'm a hard worker, and I will work. I will drive trucks all around the fucking Australia, the remote Australia. I had a bloke give me a go. He, look, straight up, the blokes, if you listen to this, I love you, mate, you're a cunt. Straight up. but let me put it in perspective, right? He's just an old school shifty trucker that owns plenty of trucks. And I'll give him credit. I do love the bloke. He's done me a solid and I'm very grateful, you know. But it took an old shifty sort of trucker bloke to give me a start, which, you know, you sort of think to yourself, well, I want to get a legitimate job. I want to, and you always feel like you're still, you're never quite legit because you're always getting gypped or they're always trying to milk you or you know, give you a bum steer, give you the shit job, or you just know that you feel like you always owe them something.
Yeah, exactly.
For giving you a start. When, like every Joe Blow goes down the street, can get a fucking job like that and no one nothing. They just go to work for them and their families.
Yeah. What people don't understand is some bloke getting out of jail, he wants to do good and he wants to turn his life around and they're knocking him back constantly. Oh, you can understand why blokes do go back to crime.
Yeah.
They're trying to do the right thing out here and people, squareheads of fucking society, even though this bloke's changed his life around life, I see boys get out of jail, they're on work, so they're fucking hard workers. They're the bloke that will show up every day.
Oh,
you have your bad apples and that. You have your bad apples, but give a bloke a chance. But this is where it happened with me. Like, and because I got knocked back and I was off, I was like, I ain't going to let this get me down. I ain't going to self-pity myself. That's the life I wanted to live. Causing trouble my whole life. I can't make excuses myself. This is the cards I've been dealt. I've got to get on with it. So I finally come up with a job at Boral, and anything at this time I could get my hands on, I'd jump on. And it was a truck driving job. So you start off there, you can be a company driver. So I started off for 2 years, get the feel of the job, and then you can have a chance to buy your own truck and be an owner driver. So I thought, you know what, I just got the feel for this job, and I kept saying to myself, I'm going to go do it. But it's a big thing. To buy one of these trucks is $250,000, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've got to start your own business. You've got to start your own proprietary. You've got to go to accountants. Shit that I fucking don't know what I'm doing. Like, I still don't know what I'm doing. I get help doing my paperwork. My mum does me fucking I don't understand that shit. I can't, you know, so... I thought to myself, I said, like, you get a lot of people out there that say, you're not going to do it. Who the fuck are you going to do it? He's not going to do it. In my head, I was like, yeah, fucking watch me what I'm going to do. So I thought to myself, I rang the manager and I was like, mate, look, I know it's a bit far-fetched, but is there any chance that you'd give me a go at giving me a contract and I'll go off and buy my own truck? And he's like, he sort of thought about it for a bit. He's like, you know what, mate, you're probably the youngest bloke to ever come through here to ask me that. He goes, you know what, I'll give you a go. And I said, mate, my word's me word. I won't let you down. And I've never looked back. Every month for 5 years, I fucking worked my ass off, paid $4,000 a month to knock this off. And then the blink of an eye, 5 years went, I own a fully successful debt-free business, not owing a cent, not owing anything, ahead in life. I've got a beautiful missus. I've got a little daughter. And we went on to buy a unit. You know, coming from all that shit.
Listen to that. You know how powerful you're talking right now? Fuck, I love what I do. I love these stories of redemption because the inspiration that you're actually giving others out there through your actions is fucking beyond. You just said it. You felt like you could have just gone, fuck, my world's come tumbling down again when you know in your heart you did nothing wrong. I was always told by an old man, not an old man, an old school bloke, right? An old knockabout. And he'll know this if he hears this. If you do, love ya. But if you're right, stand by your fucking right. If you're wrong, put your hand up and be a man and admit when you're wrong. Yeah. But if you're right, you hold that. You stand strong no matter what. Do not take a backward step because the truth will always come out.
Yeah, exactly.
For you, you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
The allegations were put against you, but you didn't. And look where you've come out.
Mate, that's why I put it to you, mate. Like, I go back to the time in Bathurst and that. If I can get through that, like I was talking before, I still come amongst hurdles. I still, because I've got a criminal record, I've got to pay nearly double the insurance of what other blokes got because insurance don't want to touch me. To insure me truck, insurance is bloke don't want to touch me.
So you're a legitimate businessman with a successful business. You've been paying your truck off. You turn up for work. You've got a company like Boral that'll back you to the hilt because of the hard work that you've put in, yet you've got an insurance company that wants to rob you.
They'll pay $4,000 or $5,000 where another insurance company, I tried to jump over to them and the bloke sat me down and started interrogating me. Or, you want to see your police checks and all this, you've got a criminal record, which I ended up telling him to go fuck himself, because it was like, well, I've done everything. Look where I am now. I've just, like, look where I am now to, but people don't care about that, Simo. They don't give a fuck. So now I've got to pay double. I pay $8,000 because I've got a criminal record.
And the thing is, too, Dino, I think that, you know, unfortunately, this is the reality and what people need to hear, because these are the facts. Starting your own business or trying, you know, to change your life is fucking always going to be difficult because of the paths that we have walked. But the key is success comes from commitment and consistency. You've shown definitely. The commitment. You're consistent. You know what? You turn up. You're there every fucking day and you're turning up for your beautiful daughter, for your lovely partner, for the home that you're providing and working your ass off for. You're not fucking out in someone's backyard paddock anymore with 50 groms, you know what I mean, sharing the yard and looking for a place to lay your heads. You are a leader in your community now of where now you're making change and differences through your actions, bro. And I can't tell you, you, mate, are fucking amazing. I love it.
Yeah. But you know what as well, Simo? I am grateful. My motto in life is be grateful for everything. So if I had the silver spoon fed to have this job given to me on a platter and all that, I probably wouldn't appreciate it the way I do.
Not at all.
Because I've been through everything and whatever I've been through in life, every single person has got a story. Whether it doesn't have to be jail, doesn't have to be in a gang or any of those. Every person's got a story. You know what I mean? So if you've been through a bit of hard times, appreciate what you got, because you don't realise what you got until it's fucking taken off you. And I appreciate being able to turn up every day, start that key in my truck, put food on the table for my family, fucking give my family whatever they want. That is life to me now. That is living, not trying to fall in the trap of impressing anyone. I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks about me now. I live the life. I'm the happiest I've ever been. I surf with my mates. I go to work.
Now, hang on. Not do you just surf with your mates. You get your beautiful daughter out in the ocean. You share the ocean and the love of the ocean with her. I think that is such a powerful thing. I do whatever I can with my young sons. I missed out on a lot with my older son who's 22. You know, and unfortunately, they're the paths that I chose and the path that I walked. But that's not his fault, you know. But I've had to pay for that. You know, I'm vowed never to make those mistakes again. And you, you know, you've just got the one at the moment, but, you know, the way that you carry yourself and just the love and just being there as a dad, and it inspires me, mate. It really does. Yeah. And I get a bit emotional about it because it's so fucking good. You know, I love it. You know, I went out today mountain biking with my boy, you know, and one of my sons, then last week, and then I surfed with them. And just the smile and the stoke on their faces and looking up to you going, you know, that's my dad.
How good is
there's
the
nothing, like that's, nothing there's no that compares.
Like it.
No.
Like, that video that I put on Instagram with my little daughter on my shoulder, on my back surfing, like, we went out and
that was
and
so good.
For me to have my daughter surfing with me, like, she was at the time just turned 4. And I took a bigger board out and I put her on the front of it. And I just thought I was going to paddle and then stand her up in front of me. She's like, nah, Dad, throw me on your back and I'll lock her around your neck. And I was like, all right, no worries. So off we go. We're paddling. And she's like, I couldn't sit in the inside bit because I'll break. I'm like, we'll go out the back a little bit, you know? And she's like, yeah. A wave comes. She's like, go, Dad, go, Dad. And I could hear me, Mrs. Beck, on the shore going, no, no. And I'm going, yes. And we took off on a proper wave with my little daughter around my shoulders, and she's just screaming with joy. Like, they're moments you never forget in your life. And this is what I say to the young kids at the beach. You just be yourself. Be yourself. Don't try and impress anyone. What you are as a person is unique, and people will respect you for that. This is the life that we're living now, Simo. Like, you don't have to be in a gang. You don't have to.
You know what? The biggest man is the man that turns up and goes to work every day, and that fucking be a leader in his community and for his children. You are that man. You're not that kid looking up anymore at that older bloke. You are that older bra boy. You are that older father. You are that leader that's involved in the surf community down there with so many young people. And I see that, you know, board riders down there is just blowing up. And it's just growing massively. So credit to everybody involved down in Maroubra, pulling the community back to an amazing position. Dino, you're that guy now. They're looking up at you. What is, and I ask this from all my guests before we end our conversation, whether it be a word, a paragraph, or just a short sentence, What are you saying to the young Dean down there that's looking up at you that's 13, 14 years of age?
Be yourself. Be true to yourself. Don't worry about impressing anyone. Don't worry about big noting. Be yourself, because in the end, you yourself is what's going to pull you through everything. Not the person that, the fake person, not the shell that you're hiding in. When you come out, when you've been through a lot, whatever it may be, people's past, drugs, anything, you yourself as a person is what's going to get you through everything. And everyone, as I've gone on in time, I've learnt me just being myself for who I am. I've got more respect out of that than anything else I've ever done. You know, and be grateful for what you have in your life, whether it's food on the table, whether it's a mate to talk to, anything in life. It's just, we got it good. Look how good life is, you know.
Dean Clark, mate, it's been an honour. I wanted to say it, and, you know, I love you, bruh. We've talked about you, this brother, for some time. You know, you've been nearly looking up to me for so long now, and I flip the coin, I look up to you, brother, and I just want to say, keep inspiring, keep being the amazing man that you are, keep turning up, keep being the great dad that you are. Congratulations, buddy, and it's a proud moment to sit here and talk about your story of redemption. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. I love you, Tim, mate. I appreciate it, mate.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. For the record, lab on me going all the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. For the record, 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 for the record.